So let me invite you, if you have a Bible, to take it out and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to read Jeremiah 29 fairly soon here. I'm going to say just a few words about where we are this month in the sermon series that we're in. We're in a series of messages just for the month of January, a short series, actually just four Sundays, trying to cover five themes or five values that are important for us here at Nelson Avenue. We began 2 weeks ago looking at two values together, the values of affection and prayer, and even how those values are related, those themes. Last week, generosity, or as the Bible talks about it, the grace of giving. And this morning, it's the value of the city. And maybe for some of us, that might sound like the city. Is that a value for us? I think it is. I think it should be. I should confess, I've needed others to point out this theme to me in the Bible. I would not have seen it on my own. So I'm thankful for those in the past, but also just really recently, who've helped me see this remarkable theme in the Bible.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. I'm reading from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14. Jeremiah assures the captives they are safer in Babylon than Jerusalem, for Jerusalem will be destroyed. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah with the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles, to priests and prophets and all the people from whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeshaphat and his queen mother and the eunuchs and princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. And this letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shiphan, and Gemariah, the son of Helkah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Did you get all that? Thus says the Lord of hosts, the King, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For its welfare, you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie which they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and I will seek you and find you will find me. You will seek me and find me, And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place which I have sent you into exile. And he will bring them back in his time. Thus saith the Lord.
For a few moments, if you're willing to close your eyes. I know not all of you like doing that, but just for 2 minutes, And you can look around and see if those beside you are closing their eyes. Hopefully they are. I just want to do a little imagination just for a few moments. Now, what I'm going to ask you to imagine for some of us, especially those of us who've lived in Canada for a long time or for a while, we're going to say, that's just crazy. But I'm doing this for a reason. So just see if you can imagine this. It's the year 2027. It's 10 years from now. Much has changed in the world. The world is even a more deadly place than it is now. There's been wars and more wars, and the wars have become so pronounced they have actually come to Canada. A foreign country has invaded Canada, has overtaken Canada. There's been fighting and killing and destruction. People that you know have been killed in the fighting. And you have been taken hostage, or you're a prisoner of war. This country has come and taken you as a prisoner and brought you back to their capital city. Now, whatever country you think it is, that's what it is for you this morning. Whatever it might look like in your mind, if you can imagine this, I know it sounds like just beyond maybe what we can imagine sometimes, but and you're there in that foreign country. They've captured you. They've taken over this country, Canada. And you've been there for now about a week in some sort of camp, and you get a text message. You know, they allowed you to keep your phone for some reason, and you get a text message from someone from your church community. Maybe it's the pastor, maybe a church leader, maybe a friend, and the message says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which God has carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Okay, now, that might seem like a crazy thing to do on a Sunday morning, and you're thinking, you know, that's never going to happen, Pastor Yo. Why would you even want us to imagine something like that, something awful like that? And of course, the reason I'm trying to do that is because I'm trying to get, just for a few moments, a little sense in our hearts of what it was maybe like for these people, 2,600 years ago, to receive this message from their prophets. Now, there were many prophets in Israel, in Jerusalem at this time. One of the least liked prophets was Jeremiah. But Jeremiah sends a message, he says it's from God, to these people who have been taken from Israel, from Jerusalem, taken to Babylon, to this enemy city. And he says to them these shocking words. So I'm trying to see if this morning we can get a little sense of what it was like for these people to receive this news. Right? Because it's not the news that they would have expected. They would have probably expected, pray for Jerusalem. You know, we still got a few people over here. We're you know, the enemies are around us. They've taken over, but pray for Jerusalem. It's not pray for Jerusalem, it's pray for Babylon. The center of this enemy, this foreign power. Pray for the city you're in, the city of exile and captivity. And something that Marge mentioned this morning as we were talking about the passage, another shocking thing about these verses is God has sent you into exile. I know it looks like King Nebuchadnezzar came and he did, and it looks like the Babylonians came and they did, and they've taken you, but undergirding all of it, it's God's work. God has done this. And then another shocking thing is not just pray for this city and seek the peace of this city, and God is behind all of this, but you're going to be there for a while. So dig down some roots, build some houses, start some families. Don't just sit in a corner somewhere, in a ghetto somewhere. You're going to be there probably 70 years or more, some of you. So start living life in that city of exile and captivity. Now this morning, I want to talk about this passage. I want to link it to our day today. The one thing I don't want to say, and I don't want you to hear me say, I'm not trying to tell you this morning that Burnaby is Babylon. Okay? I'm not saying that. We are not in the same situation that these people were in. Right? I do want to say, if God sent a message to these people in exile, in captivity, a message like this about that city, then I think for sure he's sending a message very similar like that to us today who don't live in that same kind of situation. If this is God's heart for people who go into captivity and exile into a foreign country, you know, against their will, taken away, pray for that city, seek the peace of that city, then I think certainly he's saying something very similar to us today. But why is God saying this? Why is God saying to people who feel angry, mourning, grieving, lamenting, you know, where is God? Why is God saying to them, when you're over there in Babylon, pray for peace and seek the peace of the city? And I think God's doing that because even though they're in Babylon, at least one of the reasons, even though they're in Babylon, God knows the way he's wired cities and civilization. He knows that although Babylon is the foreign city, the exile city, the city of captivity, even in Babylon, there is sin and evil, and there is good. Right? It's not just a wicked city. It's not just a city of the enemy or a city of captivity, a city of exile. There is good that God wants to do there as well. And that's one thing for those people who heard this news so many years ago, but also for us, for those of us who follow Jesus Christ, part of whether Nelson Avenue or some other church community, it's important for us to hear God's heart for the city. Because sometimes, and I get this from an article I read this past week, it was called A Theology of Cities. You know, sometimes Christians have despised the city. The city is bad, the city is wrong, the city is evil, and the church becomes simply a fortress. Keep the city out, keep all the believers in, and we'll just sort of wait out the storm. That's not God's intention for Christians living in a city, to be a fortress. I was surprised. I heard one pastor say this past week, as I was listening to a message about the theme of the city, that overall the Bible has a very positive view of cities. There are cities that get judged. There are cities that are, you know, sinful and wicked. But overall, the overall theme or the overall story of cities in the Bible is very positive. Another approach that sometimes people or Christians have toward the city is that we are the city. You know, the city is us. You know, we just assimilate to everything going on around us. And when we do things like that, we forget that, well, there are things about the city we should not be assimilating to. The city is not wholly bad, but it's not wholly good. We're always trying to live in the tension, not just of cities, but cultures and countries in this world. So this author suggested, and I think he's right, that the church is always meant to be a leaven, a godly influence. The church is meant to be people who love the city. We see wickedness, sin, wrongdoing, things that we wish were not going on. We also see the good in the city and the things we love about it. But our longing is to love the city in such a way that we would be a leaven, an influence, people who work for the good of the cities that God has placed us in. So as I've said, the Bible does mention cities that get judged, and we need to sometimes hear the names. There are cities like Sodom and Gomorrah and cities like Nineveh and Babylon. But also we have to recognize that God judges the city of Jerusalem, especially in the prophets. Toward the end of our Old Testaments, there are lots of prophets who say, what's going on in the holy city, in the city of God, is wicked and wrong and evil. That one of the prophets says that the city of Jerusalem is a city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. So as we think about what the Bible says about the city, there are cities that are judged. There are cities that are things going on in the city that are not according to God's will. But cities are also places of refuge. Cities are also things that we long for and hope for. This morning I was reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham looking forward to the city whose builder and founder is God. That salvation is tied to a city, that the prophets also tell us eventually one day the Redeemer will come from Jerusalem. That Jesus uses the example, uses the image in the Sermon on the Mount, that the church and his followers are called to be a city on a hill. In some ways, not a fortress, but in some ways a city within a city that is connected to the city around it, but is seeking to be a leavening presence or a presence for good in the community. And then also as we read the book of Acts and we think about the early church and how the early church advanced or was strategic in its mission, I think about the Apostle Paul. He went to all kinds of people, but typically he went to cities because he knew in cities there are people. And where there are cities, if I can influence the city, I will influence the area around it. But this morning, maybe the thing I want us to see most of all about the Bible's view of cities or how the Bible sees cities is that the Bible moves us in a story from a garden in the early chapters of Genesis to a city at the end. So the whole history of redemption or the whole history of salvation is moving toward this. The image is in the future, as John sees this vision, the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, there's going to come this city out of heaven, this new Jerusalem, this holy city that God has prepared for his people, at the very heart of God's redemption through Jesus, is the acknowledgement of the goodness of this city that God is preparing. Jesus saves us, as we move through the Bible story, from a human-centered city, which we read about in the early chapters of Genesis, this city of Babel or Babel, where people are trying to build this tower to make a name for themselves. God, through Jesus, is saving us from that human-centered city and saving us ultimately for a God-centered city. I want us to hear this morning, and for some of us it's a little bit difficult to hear, but Jesus Christ did not die and rise in order to take us away from the earth and away from the cities. Jesus Christ does not die and rise to take us to heaven that we might live forever with him, removed from earthly existence. Jesus Christ dies and rises to usher in one day a new creation that will culminate or be centered around this new city, this new and holy Jerusalem. And I want us to be able, if we can, you know, whether you close your eyes or not, you see, if you're able to see the story of the Bible, how the Bible moves us, as I've already said, from garden to a new place, an urban place, a city place. This is the movement of God in the Bible, and I say that in parts, and maybe this morning I'm preaching to myself mostly, I don't know. But I say that in part because, you know, when I grew up, and sometimes even today, I think of the city as a scary place. Now, maybe some of you don't have that. But as I've been, you know, thinking about my relationship with even the city of Burnaby, or how I think about cities in general, how I thought about the city certainly when I was a child, the city was a big place, a scary place, a place, you know, a tough to get around in, a place with all kinds of bad things going on. As I read the biblical story, I hear something different going on. And even as I was reading this past week, there was a quote from a pastor in India who wrote a book about Christ and cities, Jesus and cities, who said that cities should not be seen as monsters. Maybe that's when I was a kid, or even, you know, recently thinking about cities as this monstrous place that's going to swallow us up, but rather seeing God sending his people, sending us to live and dwell and be influences in the cities in which he places us. So what I'll put up is a couple of graphics for us this morning. We have the pictures from Burnaby kind of cycling through there. But why this is such a big deal, a little bit for me this morning, for us as a church community, but for the church in general, this is one graph I want to show you. Now, I don't know if all of you can see this, but I'll just try and point out these three main lines. The blue line on the top is the rise of population from 1950 projected to 2050. So it's just under 3 billion in 1950. By 2050, the estimates are that it'll be over 9 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people. That's three times as many in 100 years, three times as many people. As we see the red line in 1950 was the rural population. So about 2.5 billion people, almost 2 billion, were in rural places. Less than 1 billion lived in cities. But as we move to projections in 2050, we see that most of the world, and maybe we'll put on the next slide, The projections are that by 2050, 80% of people will reside in cities. Now, those are projections. Maybe it'll be a little different. But that's the way the population is going. Part of the reason I bring this to your attention this morning is as I'm reading the graphs or looking at the numbers and thinking about cities and reading certain things that pastors have said and listening to sermons other pastors have spoken, it seems like, although more and more people are going to cities, flocking to cities, Beijing and Shanghai and London and all kinds of other places, including the greater Vancouver area, the church, at least what I've heard, the church has actually been moving away from cities. So people are going towards the city, and, you know, pastors and scholars have seen actually the church is going the opposite way. And that should not be. If God is sending, if God is working in the history of humanity to send more and more people into larger and larger cities, then it seems to me that if that's where people are going, that's where the church should be going. That's where the church should be investing its prayers and its influence and its abilities. It should be wanting to be in places where people are. Now, this morning, what I'd like to do is I just want to give us a few suggestions of how we might be a church in a city that is praying for peace, but also working for the peace of the city. So I know I'm moving a little bit quickly, I feel, this morning, at least as I'm talking. But I want to get to a few suggestions for us. As we think about Jeremiah 29 and the words to these exiles, now, we're not in that exact same position, I realize, but I think the Word of God is very similar to us. Pray for the peace of the city. We'll do that in a few moments. But also, work for the peace, or long for the peace. This idea, now the word peace is tough, because the word in Hebrew is shalom. And I'm being told by scholars the word shalom is peace, but it's really this well-being, this physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual well-being of people and communities. That's shalom. Where everything in our being and everything in our lives is in a place of peace. Our minds, our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our relationships, our work environments, our families, when it's all at peace, then we have shalom. And this is the vision that God gives his people in Babylon. Pray for the peace, but also seek the peace. So this morning I want to give us a few suggestions. And as I do that, I want to remind us that when I give suggestions and ideas, they are suggestions and ideas, right? So you need to filter through the Spirit. What's the Spirit saying to you or to us as a church? Where is this? Where are the suggestions and ideas on track, and where are they not? So discernment's always needed when Pastor Yo starts giving ideas, right? It's always needed. You have to think, pray, discern, talk. Sometimes with me, sometimes with each other. Hopefully with God, right? What's the Spirit saying to the church this morning? So here are some suggestions for us. I start kind of what I would say, just, you know, hopefully all things you'll all agree with, and then I'm going to end with some more challenging suggestions. I know one of them will be really challenging, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm going to call us to be people in our thinking or our approaching the city. We are not people who say it's all bad or it's all good. We are people who discern, but our attitude toward the city is an attitude of love and care and compassion for individuals, but also for communities. That we find ways of serving the city, but also expressing our faith in urban places, in the city. And so my challenge, you know, not just for the faith formation team, but also for the community, our church community, is I think we can do pretty good at forming faith in the church. I think we come up with a lot of ideas, or in our homes, or in our small groups. We need that. I also want to challenge the faith formation team and us as a church. How do we form faith in the city, in the urban places, in the everyday places we go? What are practices we can do? Maybe some of you are doing already, where we're not just huddled here forming faith, very important, and in our homes forming faith, very important, but also in the everyday moments of our lives forming faith. I think that being in the city with this kind of Jeremiah 29 perspective calls us away from being just nice neighbors. This is a message for all of us. Nice neighbors are, we wave and say hello, right? That's a nice neighbor. But to be good neighbors, we wave and say hello, but we actually walk across the street and we talk for a while and we find out how people are doing. And maybe we help a neighbor. We bring food to a neighbor. We want to know our neighbors, and we want God to use us in their lives. So this morning I'm speaking to all of us. Right? Just recently a study group started at Nelson Avenue looking at the housing development plan in Metrotown. I'm so thankful for that, a group that started. And I know for some of us who might say, What will be, will be. We can't stop development in Metro Town, and maybe we can't. But there's enough things going on in that plan that I think the church can have a witness. The church can be a positive influence. And the more I read the Bible, I always see God using individuals or small groups or unexpected people to do things, like great things in His name. So maybe this is our time, maybe, a little Nelson Avenue to speak to the city about their plan and to bring some words of wisdom, a godly counsel. This team has encouraged us, it's in the bulletin, to write on a survey, to send it into the city of Burnaby. And I want to encourage us to do that. Not for the sake of, okay, Pastor, you told us, therefore I do it. The team told us, therefore I do it. But as a way of loving the city, filling out a survey, maybe they'll listen to what I'm saying, take it into their deliberations as a way of showing love and concern and seeking the peace of the city. I know one of the things we've done as a church, and I wish we do it more often, it's not a very nice thing to do, but anyhow, cleaning up garbage in our community. I've been surprised when I went out one time, and I've heard others say the same thing, when they were cleaning up garbage around the church here, that's when people come out and say, what are you doing? Are you a city worker? No. Are you looking for something in the grass here, like among the garbage, some ring or something? No. What are you doing? I'm cleaning up garbage. I just want to clean up the neighborhood. What is going on? That's the one moment where I've had people from the community say, what? Why would you do that? No one does that. I think the church, through the example of Jesus, we do things like that. I know that just sounds really crazy, but I think it's one of the things we can do. Now, these last two things are a bit more challenging for us, but let me just suggest them. I'm going to suggest this one, because I've heard some of you talk about this, and I want to encourage some of us to consider this. It's going to sound crazy, counterintuitive. I know. And this is not for all of us. Trying to preface what I'm going to say, but I'm wondering, and I hear some of you talking about this, about moving into Burnaby, or back into Burnaby, or closer to the church. I know some of you are considering this. For the sake of the church, the sake of your relationship to the church, for the sake of the city, I know it's not possible for everyone, not feasible for everyone, but if you feel this morning in your heart, well, the Spirit is talking to me, if we're going to love the city and be in this city, maybe, 1, 2, 5, God's nudging. I know that sounds so crazy. I know you're saying, don't you know Burnaby? Pastor Yo, don't you know how much it costs to live here? I say, I do. But are there a few that would say, yeah, the Spirit was nudging before and during what you were saying, and we're thinking about that, moving into Burnaby. And the last thing, and this is a large thing, but you know, there are so many good schools in Burnaby and Greater Vancouver area. There are so many good schools, but I was in one school on Friday. Never been there before, Burnaby South. There's many, many good schools in Burnaby. Many, many good schools in the Greater Vancouver area. Some of you work in those schools, some of you go to the schools. We have 4 of our youth who go to Burnaby South. And I heard before Christmas about a lunch program they have going on in Burnaby South that needs some help. Now, this is not for all of us. I'm not asking the whole church to get involved. But I met the teacher who runs that lunch program. And what I saw, from my perspective, was just amazing. A teacher who used to go to that school before it got bigger, before it was very academic, just grade 11 to 12 when she went there. And now she's come back, served there 20 years in this school. And this school is much more diverse than when she went there. A lot more kids and a lot more families that need help, which just shocks me. How can a city like Burnaby with plans like this have people in it that their kids come to school and they don't have food? So she serves about 30 or 35 kids, you know, 5 days a week, lunch, and people are helping her, friends and family and other people, but she's always looking for more people to help. So I thought, this is just one small way If you want to be involved in that as a way of loving the city or loving people, especially, you know, in that area around Burnaby South, you can talk to me. I can give you her contacts. And there are more things that I could suggest. Again, this morning, I'm not saying we have to do all these things. I should have said this before, I need to be more vigilant about this. Please never hear me, hopefully never hear me say, Pastor was preaching, and then he got to the point where he said, if you want to be a good Christian, if you want God to love you, now you have to do these 10 things I just mentioned this morning. Please don't hear that. So the message is always, and that's why I love this video we showed this morning, always responding to the grace of God. Right, so as we experience God's grace and accept His love and acceptance, as we come into that reality, it's not in order to get into God's love, into God's kingdom, but now as we are in it, as we've experienced it, as we know His great love, not just for us, but for those around us, for the city, what's going to be our response? Responding always to the grace of God. So some of these suggestions for you this morning are helpful, great. If you're saying that was too much or too big, you know, I want to trust the Spirit leads us. If there are other things you're thinking as an individual, small group, family, or clusters of people together at Nelson Avenue to do, I want to commend you in that.